No more drone registration. Watch movies with subtitles. Beware a remote code execution flaw. And was your name used for anti-net neutrality comments? All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I'm Shannon Morse, and no, this is not a perm. This is called me being lazy. This is ThreatWire for May 30th, 2017, your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Real quick, make sure to subscribe and hit that notification bell button right below the video to see the show as soon as it goes live, and check out patreon.com/threatwire to see how you can support the show. It's a really great way to contribute to lots of your favorite podcasts. I myself contribute to, I think, 5 or 6 by now. For our ongoing viewers, I just got back a couple of days ago from Australia. My very first keynote, which was the reason I was down there, it went really well. It will be up on our YouTube channel soon, and our ThreatWire Patreon credits and the show page will be updated with new contributors after the first of the month. Okay, updates aside, on to the news. This happened a little over a week ago, but it's pretty exciting, so I decided to include it. On May 19th, a Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals ruled that the FAA's previous 2015 registration rule for drones was in violation of a previous Reform Act from 2012. So way back in 2012, the FAA created the Modernization and Reform Act of 2012, which protected model aircraft from regulation. In 2015, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, created a rule to make small unmanned aircraft systems, or UAS, aka drone pilots, register online with a $5 fee if their drone weighed between 0.55 and 55 pounds. Pilots had to include ID numbers on drones and re-register every 3 years. Failure to comply would result in jail time or a $250,000 penalty, up to. Over the past 2 years, the FAA has collected $3 to $4 million from registered applicants. John A. Taylor, a drone hobbyist and Maryland insurance attorney, petitioned the Court of Appeals, arguing that the FAA doesn't have authority over drone pilots because they should be defined as model aircraft under the 2012 ruling. The FAA states that the 2015 ruling was put in place for security and privacy, but also for safety regulations, along with educational ones. But the FAA also has an advisory circular titled Advisory Circular 91-57. Which you can read online, which was published back in 1981, that includes information on safely operating model aircraft. This could be updated to include newer information on drones or UAS aircraft. The difference is the circular was a voluntary guideline, while the registration for drones is not. As of recording, the FAA's registration site is still up and running, and the FAA can appeal the ruling to the judges or Congress. Along with this, a draft of proposed legislation was sent to Congress from the Trump administration asking for authority to, quote, detect, identify, monitor, or track without prior consent an unmanned aircraft system to evaluate whether it poses a threat. It continues allowing for authorities to, quote, redirect, disable, disrupt control of, exercise control of, seize, or confiscate UAS aircraft that they deem pose a threat. This could include any hobbyist drone that's seen as a threat to a U.S. government facility, location, or installation on domestic soil. So the fight for drone pilot privacy and security continues. In 4 different media platforms, Kodi, VLC, Popcorn Time, and Streamio, a subtitle file could be used to target a computer with a remote code execution, letting an attacker gain full control over the machine. When these players source the web for subtitle files, which I didn't know they do until I checked this out, they use various distributors that index and rank subtitle files for movies and TV shows. These subtitle files are downloaded automatically because they want it to be as seamless as possible for the user. Researchers at Checkpoint were able to manipulate the algorithm of these subtitle distributors so their subtitles ranked higher. The subtitle file could contain malicious code that isn't noticed by the media platforms because the subtitle industry apparently lacks in security. They lack a lot of security. So the trusted source file is automatically used to embed subtitles into a movie playing in the media platform, and while the movie or the TV show plays, the attacker can gain remote access to the desktop, the tablet, or even a mobile device. Now, since this is a serious problem, Checkpoint notified all 4 security vendors before publicly sharing the proof of concept, but their full research is currently unavailable. Each of the platforms has an update available that fixes the bug, which is linked via the Checkpoint blog, and you can find that link down in the show notes. But the platform fixing the issue is only half of the root cause. The online open source file distribution chain also needs to put better algorithm in place for ranking, as well as include a way to spot malicious subtitle files. In our ongoing story on the FCC's net neutrality debate, the FCC released a statement earlier this month in regards to the net neutrality commenting site downtime, saying it was due to multiple DDoS attempts. This was right after the airing of a popular TV show journalist who implored his viewers to comment on the site. Skeptics believe the site's downtime was due to the rush of pro-net neutrality commenters. Along with this, recently several people have discovered fake comments popping up on the FCC comment page about net neutrality. No surprise there. Ajit Pai and the FCC are gearing up to continue with their proposal called Restoring Internet Freedom, which we reported on in full a few weeks back. The updated proposal is planned to make great changes to the previously created net neutrality rulings made by the Obama administration, which you can also read online. Just like last time this debate came up, the FCC is opening its website to a public comment poll, where so far 2.5 million comments have been made about restoring internet freedom proposals. So far, about 500,000 of the comments are copy-pasted anti-net neutrality submissions that appear to have been submitted by bots that pilfered real personal information from data breaches. Several of the addresses appearing in comments are outdated, and two of the identities used were from people who are recently deceased, so they couldn't have posted them. Because of the spam, an organization called Fight for the Future created a site called comcastroturf.com where you can submit your name to see if it's been used on the FCC site for any commenting. Currently, Comcast is in a legal battle to shut down the site with a cease and desist letter. No one knows exactly where the comments came from or what data breach was used to pilfer their information, though several different media outlets, including ZDNet, KDVR in Denver, and Fight for the Future themselves, have opted to personally ask people if they were the commenters, to which a surprising amount had no clue what was going on, they had no clue what net neutrality was, or they completely disagreed with the comment used under their name. Because of this, 14 people so far, and Fight for the Future has stated they will add more signees as they can verify their claims, has written a letter to Ajit Pai and the FCC expressing their extreme concern over the impersonations that they have been victims of. The 14 people request action from the FCC, including 1, removing fake comments, 2, notify impacted citizens, 3, publicly disclose any information the FCC may have on the parties involved in the impersonations, and 4, investigate violations of the 18 U.S.C. 1001 regulation, which includes making false statements. Now, while just 14 so far have signed the letter, the fake comments also include political statements and personal addresses on a public docket that anyone can search, which is a serious breach of privacy and potentially harming reputations. You can continue to make your own real comments anytime until mid-August. Thanks again to all the fine people who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. If you can spare a bit of change, it all helps keep Threatwire completely independent and ad-free. We now have an audio-only RSS feed just for patrons, extra content, and early access. We might even feature your adorable fur babies in an upcoming episode just like these ones. Remember, patrons, to share your favorite security-focused news stories in the Patreon community tab to get featured in the show. And of course, if you cannot donate, totally cool too. Hit the subscribe button, share this episode on your favorite social media page, and use that hashtag ThreatWire so that we can see it and we might even retweet you. With that, I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.